Let's Get Fired, Season 4, Welcome to the Month of Oz, Episode 2.
In Oztober.
And Oztober is on the way.
Oztober.
Oztober is on the way.
We got Oztember next month.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
So we're very excited. You know, where we leave off that you were pissed off at the Comedy Cellar or something like that.
No, I wasn't pissed off at the Comedy Cellar. We got it all worked out. They had seated me really in the far back, and I complained, and then they put the booker of the Comedy Cellar and all these high business people on the email. So I asked ChatGPT on my response.
Okay.
Anyways,
I think we got it good.
That's fine.
We got the gist of the New York trip, but you were talking about visualizing things. Oh, yeah. Wait. Okay, wait.
Give some more.
Wait, let's hear this more. What's more about New York that we didn't get last week?
Okay, well, I didn't talk about the time I met Janine Garofalo, so I'm going to do some name dropping. And I hope I don't come across pretentious as I say
dude.
It can't be pretentious.
If you make cool friends, you should share that with all of us.
Because then it feels like we get to meet them.
Yes. Well, I did the NBC Studios tour, and that was really cool. So I saw like 8H Saturday Night Live, and they have like 8 billion lights in the ceiling, which is cool. But they don't allow any pictures because they're kind of Nazis about it. But then I was able to get passes to go to Seth Meyers the next day, and it was freaking amazing. I got there super early, and it was so hot that day. And I'm like, and I bought this. So I did buy this. Did I tell you guys about the sundae? I don't know if this is a funny story or not, but I was wearing a white shirt, and I bought a sundae from a food truck guy. It was like $12. And because I was wearing a white shirt, as soon as I picked up the sundae, immediately I had chocolate on my shirt, just out of nowhere. And then when I tried it, I ate it, and when I got rid of it, even a bigger chocolate stain on my shirt, which is terrible. So then I had to go down to Times Square and then go to Old Navy, and I got this nice, clear white shirt. It was a lot better. But then, so I used that when I went to the Seth Meyers show the next day. It was all nice. I felt all suave, but I was also sweating like nobody's business. I don't know how New Yorkers don't have sweat stains everywhere. Like they're like genetically engineered not to have sweat stains, because I had everywhere. You just look like I was underneath an engine.
Crazy thing to say about Jewish people.
Yeah. Well, you know, 80% of your body heat escapes from your head. I don't know how they're not dying with those. Any yarmulkes. Anyways, Seth Meyers, the guest that day was the set. So it was really cool. While we were waiting in line, Questlove shows up. You know Questlove,
Questlove?
Questlove is the big black drummer on Jimmy Fallon. You know, he's always got a comb in his hair, and he's like, hey, you know, like that kind of thing, right? And
Albert.
No. But if you're watching Jimmy YouTube,
he was in the Proud Family.
Was he?
No. Bad.
Questlove, he like showed up in the lobby while we were waiting in line for Seth Meyers. I'm like, dude, Questlove. And he just kind of gave a nod. And I was like, hey, because that's what it says on the YouTube.
You said that to him?
I sang that to him. I don't think he liked it.
I hope this guy gets that like 20 times.
Oh, wait, hang on. So he just walked by. And
yeah, he
like,
walked
hey.
By to go past
and
the
And then
security.
He went like this, and you're like, hey.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's right. And the two older women I was with in the front of the line, they were like, that was really good. Wow, that was awesome. I was like,
did you put a question up like, see?
Yeah.
We like it. Come on. I'm doing your job.
We got women of culture right here.
That's right. That's right.
A man of color.
So the place I was staying was this place called Interfaith Retreats, which was a terrible place because it was like, it's everything was like plywood. You could hear everything around you. I was kind of tired,
dude,
so I didn't
you
sleep well.
Stayed at a youth hostel.
Yes, I did. That's a life hack if you're traveling and you need a cheap place to stay is a hostel if you can't bum on somebody's couch. So I was tired. So finally, like the line took forever. They let you in this little lobby and stuff, and you go up and take these pictures and stuff for all the Seth Meyers and like there's this thing where you could take a picture and get like a little like GIF and then have it sent to your phone and stuff. I said GIF. And so when they finally ushered us in, I got front row seats. It was really cool. It was off to the corner, but they lock your phones away. They don't let you bring up your phone or your watch or anything like that. So I'm just sitting there like, what can I do? And I was tired. So I started to try to sleep a little bit just in the front seat. And they ended up getting like halfway through somebody tapping me going like, is that my time? Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for that. They were like, "Hey, are you okay? Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm totally fine." But they like they wouldn't let me sleep, so they just sit there and like I didn't have anyone to talk to because people next to me were like, "I don't know what they're doing."
No, next but, time. Also, next time Jimmy does that, you throw the microphone at him.
Yeah, this is your show.
I will make the thumbnail of this episode: Jimmy versus Oz.
No, I love Jimmy. I love Jimmy. Jimmy's guys. Just so you know, we're joined by Jimmy Glasscock, the Cockman himself, guys, the Cockman of comedy of Utah. So it's, yeah, of comedy. What yeah, I love about Utah. Jimmy, I thought this earlier today. Whenever he sees like a single girl, he actually he takes a swing. You know, you could say he's a swinger, but anyways, yeah, he's solid for that. But yeah, so the celebrity guest for Seth Meyers was the celebrity guest host for Seth Meyers was Timothy Oliphant,
hey,
and Emily Ratajkowski.
Oh, wow.
And so Seth Meyers finally came out. We're supposed to. They make you clap so much. My hands hurt because you're clapping. There's like slavery over
wait,
there.
They make you.
They just keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping. And you're like, my hands are burning, you know? They're like, keep clapping.
So as you were clapping at this event you paid for, you were like, this is like slavery.
Yeah, well, you didn't pay. We didn't pay for it, but yeah.
Started singing the song. He's like, well, they're making me clap again.
Dude, I was clapping so much, I thought I might get the clap. So I thought that was like, it was terrible that I was honestly that finally they stopped. And or like, then Seth Meyers came out. And by then, our hands are just calloused and stuff. And we're all bitter. And they're like whipping us if we stop. And but yeah, he comes out, is all cheerful. And it was so cool that Timothy Oliphant interrupted his stuff, and he was right there, like me to the shoes. That was Seth Meyers. I mean, sorry, Timothy Oliphant. I was like, no way, the bad guy from he was the bad guy in Die Hard 4, Live Free or Die Hard. Also, he was
like, it's also like not the.
He was in Justified.
He's been in bigger things. You'd recognize.
Yeah, you know.
He's straight to DVD. Like, Die Hard 4.
I was like, I don't think I've seen Live Free or Die Hard since like 2008.
Oh. Dude, that's such a good movie.
No, he was in like what's it called? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah,
like, but you'd recognize him.
Yeah, yeah, he was in Gone in 60 Seconds. He had a supporting role there, but yeah, he was more role. He had a starring role in Justified. And yeah, so I was like, dude, what? No way, that's crazy. And then it was really, I was like, he's just like this older, good looking guy and stuff. And everyone was just cheering. It was amazing. But I noticed something as he's walking up. I'm like, you know what? He doesn't have a butt. Oh, there's hope for us out there. That's buttless people. It was kind of amazing. But
so that was your main takeaway from seeing Timothy off?
Like, no,
so
how my main takeaway was he was
think about your ass.
No,
you can get a BBL.
Oh, dude, we saw one when we were in Brazil this last time. Yeah, I would love to. We saw one when we were in Brazil this last time. We were in line to come, like, we're going through the customs, and this woman who's like, she's all kind of flat, and then she turns around, she's like, boom, like, whoa. I thought it was going to, like, poke me in the eye across the room. Yeah.
Dang.
It was, she kept knocking people over. What?
Oh, shit. That's crazy.
Yeah, like it was
that wife, could be you.
No, no, it was almost like it was grotesque. It was like almost like
it was grotesque.
Damn, you should walk over like, ma'am, you're disgusting.
No, like no, I just wanted to get it behind.
You don't look anything like Timothy Oliphant.
But dude,
you'll never make it in Hollywood.
Timothy Oliphant, he was so funny. He was just off the cuff hilarious. You know, just one of like he's under like. Like really underestimated how hilarious that guy is. He's so funny. He's his guest spots on Conan on the podcast and all that stuff. He's one of the tops. And so that was really cool. And then Emily Ratajkowski came out afterwards. And of course, she's pretty, but personality wise, you're like, is there something there? But but of course, no one's really paying attention to that. But anyways.
what are they looking at, Oz? Because I know exactly what she looks like.
Yeah, you
Let
know.
Let me tell you. Not what Timothy Oliphant has going on, all right?
I don't know. With her, the lines can get kind of blurred. Anyways,
shit.
Yeah, that was a lot smarter than you gave Kravitz credit for. But anywho.
Sure, she was in Blurred Lines, the music video. You thought that one went over my head?
No, not you. I know you catch it. You're quick. You're
I don't even know who these people are.
Yeah, I'm Googling Timothy Oliphant right now.
Well, Drew doesn't know who they are because they're not far-right-wing activists.
Drew's pregnant, and well, his wife is, and so not that, you know, see, his wife is expecting, and it's
coming at you again.
He's not.
Wait, really?
He was attacked.
I need a recap of this.
So, you're
seeing it now.
No.
He just pointed to my gut and was like, Drew's pregnant.
No.
What'd you have for lunch today? A lot.
No, he'll give birth to a brown baby boy later. No, his wife's pregnant. His wife is pregnant. His wife is pregnant. So he's in his own little cocoon, right? Just like the baby is. So he doesn't, you know who Hollywood people are that are not.
My watch was like, you're in a loud environment. Protect your ears.
I'm trying to help you. You're getting cooked right now. Protect yourself. You're getting roasted.
No. But that was really cool. I got to that. And then a few days later, I went to see Roy Wood Jr. and then Jenny Garofalo on the stand-up show. And I got to talk to them. Jenny Garofalo, she was in Mystery Men. She was in Reality Bites. Cats and Dogs. Cats and Dogs.
It's like she's main thing is a stand up. Right?
Yeah. Well, her stand up is like interesting because she doesn't actually tell jokes. Apparently, like on the Bob Odenkirk's book, he talks about how she was the grandmother of alternative comedy. Well, he doesn't say grandmother because he wants to call her old, but he said she was the start of the alt comedy scene in like LA and everywhere. Mm. And I got to have a conversation with her for a while. And she, apparently I'm so bland looking that she looked at me. She was like, I think I've seen you before. I think we met before. And I'm like, nope. I'm just a bland white guy.
She's like, wait, do a spin. Timothy Oliphant. Yeah.
Dude, I have like an experience where I was just like naming the most obscure reference for a celebrity. So Adam had a joke about, Adam Brown had a joke about Jake Gyllenhaal. And I didn't know who Jake Gyllenhaal was.
Oh my God.
I was like, who is he? And he's like, you know, he's been in this. He's named all these movies. And I'm like, don't know. And then so I Google him. And I was like, oh, from October Sky?
Yes. I love that movie. It's a good movie. Joe Johnston also directed Jumanji Captain America.
Brokeback Mountain. Love that movie.
I thought you were going to say Jarhead, but... Anyways,
that too. But yeah. I did ask her for advice. You know, I like to ask like pro comics sometimes for advice if I have time. I wish I would have got a selfie, but I asked for advice. And she goes, my advice is don't take advice from other comics. Excuse me. We all have other pathways. We all have our own thing. So, you know, just don't take advice. That's what's just kind of crazy because you're like, oh, I would expect, you know, something like that. I saw Roy Wood Jr. I met Roy Wood Jr. before in Wise Guys a couple years ago. Me and Tanner Ralph. Shout out to Tanner Ralph. And we got to talk to him after a show once. And we asked him, and then like when I saw him again, I was like, hey, dude, it's me. Like, I talked to you about this coffee gig you did on The Daily Show, and it was amazing. And he was like, oh, she. And I was like giving him, I was giving him compliments. And then he goes,
wait, is Roy Wood Jr. black?
Yes. Did that come across? No.
It seemed kind of Vietnamese, but.
Yeah. So he goes, I got to go downstairs and get something real quick. And then he never came back. So I was like, all right. I was giving him all these compliments and flowers for all this. I was like, dude, you're one of the smartest comics in the game. Like, you're so brilliant. He's like, oh, that's cool. Thanks, man. I got to go downstairs and get something. And like my daddy never came back. Anyways. No, I'm kidding. That part.
No.
But it was amazing. It was really cool. And then like, honestly, after the whole thing with the Comedy Cellar, I did go to another show. I'm doing different mics at different times, but I went to the Comedy Cellar and Ryan Hamilton, Jeff Arcuri, Tom Papa was all in this one show, and it was amazing. And then, so I wanted to meet Ryan Hamilton afterwards. Oh, and then Jimmy Fallon popped in and did a spot. You know, that was really cool that he like popped in and we're like, the whole place went nuts. Like your watch would have like exploded because it was so loud. And he just talked about being Irish and how they cook, but it was still really fun. Ryan Hamilton, so Tom Papa left. So when you go to the Comedy Cellar, just so you know, there's this comics table. They don't have a green room like most comedy clubs. They have a table, but you're not allowed to go and talk to the comics at this one table. It's sacred ground. right? Like, you have to kind of like bow each time if you're a comedian before you like even look over there. And so Tom Papa got up and left the table, and I was like, oh, I can actually talk to him. And I was like, hey, what's up, man? You know, Tom Papa, I love this your podcast. And it's really amazing.
Is that how you started? You said, you're Tom Papa?
Yeah, no, I was like, hey, Tom Papa, what's up, man? Yeah. And then I was like, dude, I also remember your show, The Marriage Ref, you know, I'm sorry it got canceled, but dude, I downloaded it. It was really amazing. You know, it was good. And he laughed and stuff, and that was really cool. But I was like, I'm also trying to meet Ryan Hamilton because I'm from Utah and he's from Idaho. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll tell him. And then he went back, and Ryan took like a good solid 30 minutes before he finally got up and came over. And oh, so you're from out of town? I'm like, yeah.
I'm just imagining Tom Papa like, hey, there's some guy who wants to talk to you, and Ryan Hamilton's like,
no, Drew, that's not. You know, you misunderstood. It would have been Tom Papa would have ran over there and be like, Ryan, you got to get up. There's a guy from Utah here, and he wants to talk to you.
No,
he says that you're by Idaho.
Utah? I'm from Idaho. Hold on, yeah.
He left. So finally, like when Tom Papa left, he's like, hey, I told him he'll be coming over. And I waited patiently because, you know, I'm trying to be patient. And then
did you keep looking at him the whole time? Like,
no, no. I was trying to work on my 10 jokes, right? I was trying to get them all done. Like, all right, let me get this done. So when I go back to where I'm sleeping, I can sleep. And he finally got up, came over, and we talked. We kind of hugged. I was like, dude, no way, this is great, you know. And
what do you mean kind of hug?
Okay, fine, we hugged. I was like, dude, I think, do we hug?
Did you guys kiss?
No, we handshook. I think maybe handshook.
Can we get like an example of what happened?
Probably like, hey, what's up?
And like, then, like the if you like shook.
Yeah. So like, what, you be Ryan Hamilton and then I'll be,
I was like, dude, what's going on, man? I did this, and I think we did the bro hug.
Okay.
The bro hug thing, and I talked to where I'm from, and I was like, oh, we know the same people, right? You know, I know like Elena Hershey, and I know Steve Solberg, and because Steve's like really good friends with them.
Yeah.
And we were talking, and it was just like
I know
was,
Mad Dog.
No. Keep Mad Dog out of your effing mouth. Anyways, so we
you're talking shit on a Comedy Rumble champion.
That's true.
Oh, did he really?
He won the Rumble.
Mm. Okay, cool. All right. But I asked Ryan Hamilton for advice too. I'm like, hey, what's your advice? And instead of saying like, hey, get up every night or write really good jokes, he said, don't compare yourself to other comics. And I was like, I'm so glad you said that. Cause I was out there in New York and I saw the Elena's Instagram where she was hanging out with David Spade, and I went depressed for 3 days. So, and I was like, okay, good not to do that. So it was amazing to be able to meet Ryan Hamilton, and I was like, okay, that's good. Just try not to always remember that. And that was solid. So it was really cool. Those were the main people I was able to meet out there that were pretty famous. It was pretty solid.
That's awesome.
Yes. Hang out with Jeff Arcuri a few times. Well, said hi a few times. But each time they get off the stage in the cellar, they always have these forms they're working on. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's like last per minute or ratings or something like that. But I always like really concentrate on these paperwork that I have no idea what it is. Judah Friedlander was there. Are you a big Judah guy?
Oh yeah, you talked about this last time.
Oh, Judah
Friedlander, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know what to say to him other than like, hey, I liked you in your the everyday Dave Matthews music video, but I'm like, that's lame. I didn't watch 30 Rock,
so that's really exciting, Oz.
Yeah,
that's really, we're really happy. Like, you know, well, what's the main thing you learned coming back?
Yeah, point.
Yeah, what'd you learn? What was the main lesson of New York?
That was great. I was at this mic once. It was called Soho Playhouse. It started at 11. And I forgot to sign up just in time. So by 1 a.m., there was like still 10 guys in front of me. But I ended up talking to this girl, this black girl named Chastity, and this other guy named Henry. And I was telling about the mics and all how hard I'm working and all this other stuff, pressure. And it was cool that like both of them kind of said something. They both said like, dude, you take this way. You like almost take it. You put too much pressure on the mic. And she was like, yeah. And Chastity was like, mm-hmm. Like, well, she didn't really say it like that, but she's like, mm-hmm. You know, she did this little thing. And so I was like, oh, okay. And then I didn't really sink in until I got back from New York. And I was like, and I got back and I had post-trip anxiety and this. And then I remembered the wise words of that Henry guy going like, you put way too much in that. Like, you put like, you're taking this way too seriously for a mic. And I was like, oh yeah. And I just kind of calmed down a little bit. So if like, and I think we've talked about this, Jimmy, because you crush at open mics. You crush. I don't know how you do it.
Then on shows.
I know, dude. How many times? I don't know what you're talking about. I've been bombing for weeks.
Do you go to Do you see all of Jimmy's performances?
No, yeah, no, no.
Every time I'm in Alliance, I just eat it.
Every time. I swear to God. Every time I watch, I see Jimmy with the like write a joke or something like that. I'm like, I like almost emulate my jokes after Jimmy. It's not like I'm copying, but I'm like, I like how he turns it so dark. Like he doesn't have a soul. I don't know how he does that. I got to do that. So I have that envy for Jimmy that I'm like, he just got that. He just gets up there and he's just like this unassuming guy with a super deep voice. He's like, yeah, so beat my girlfriend on a daily basis. You know, and I'm like, dude, how do you write that? Like without fear.
Okay, I have an idea. And I'd like your input, Oz. We're all struggling comics, you know, and I think it'd be kind of fun. I have some jokes that don't work.
Okay.
Could we like kind of work on them?
Yeah,
I think we should all
I like that.
Oh, we should
it.
All do one.
Okay. Let's do get to it. To it. To it.
Okay. Okay. My first one. Again, it doesn't work, so we need to work on it. Blue balls are a lot like regular balls, except they're blue. Always bombs, and it needs some work. So how can we work on that?
Mm. Blue balls are like regular balls, except they are blue. Ooh, that's good. It's like. Okay, so how would you bring this into a set, right? Do you just one liners?
Was this like an intro thing, or is this a, you know, like a real a heel turn?
I'm feeling like it's a cold open, you Ooh. Know.
I like it. I think it's because
then they'll
cold
be like,
open.
Oh, he's already talking about blue balls. Like you need to say hi, you know.
This guy means business.
Yeah.
See, I think it's be part of like the part you're talking about your dating life, you know, like, dude, and I struck out again. And so I got those blue balls, and blue balls are just like regular balls, except they're blue. That's the one thing I have common with the Smurfs constantly, you know, like something like that. That's like, okay, there's that. But yeah, blue balls are like regular balls, except they're blue and super, super painful, right? Like, you know, just like Ghislaine Maxwell, I want that release. Anyways, all right.
Whoa. You're cooking.
No, Jimmy, write that down. You're saying that tonight.
Keep Ghislaine away from the Smurfs.
She's going to ship them off to the island.
Yeah. Smurf Island.
Smurf Fit, guys. Smurf's going to get put into the sex trade.
All right.
You made it
more personal. That was good.
Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. You like kinda... you could also be like, guys, it's blue so often. I just end up calling it Papa Smurf.
There you go.
Great.
Yeah. Or
like he's got a little hat. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Because I'm Jewish.
Do you have a joke that's not working? That
oh, it's like
we could help
all
you.
Of them. Let's take a look. You know, there's a lot to go through. A lot of options. How about this, Oz? I need some help with this. This is just it's just the premise of Benjamin Netanyahu liking Burger King. I don't know if you saw that when he went on the Nelk Boys podcast.
Okay.
They started having an argument, and Benjamin Netanyahu was like, no, Burger King is great. You guys got this wrong. And I was like, what? Anyways, it was crazy because in that moment, I was like, this, I do agree with Benjamin Netanyahu. The Whopper is great. So it just was a crazy moment. Like, what was one thing I can agree with him on?
And then when he orders something from the menu, he's like, yes, I would like the Whopper up there. Like that, right?
Whoa. No, it is good. Yeah, how else could we?
We can cut that out if that's not right.
No.
Leave it in.
Oh, man. Our producer's just shaking their head over there.
Yeah. Jack Cropper is producing in the other room. Yep. We're thinking about trying to get a whole like production staff in here because a lot of the open mic comics want to like help out with this series.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I think we could have some more production assistance.
That's really cool. Yeah. That's great.
I think it'd be great.
I'm glad Jimmy's here. It's great. He's like, gives me a little confidence, you know? He's like, you got this, buddy. You got this, bro. All right, I got to go. I have to get up early.
He always talks about you always have to leave when you talk to him.
Yeah.
Really? What do you mean?
No, you're always like, we'll hang out for a little bit, but you're very good at establishing your boundaries of like, all right, I got to go. You can't just hang in BS. You prioritize your time well. And maybe that's why everyone hangs out with you. Because everyone that just gravitates towards Jimmy because, well, he's got to go soon. Oz will be here forever. But Jimmy got to go. I wonder if you ever start referring yourself to the third person. You know, like, hey, guys, really good to see you. Good to see you. All right, Jimmy's out.
Yo.
Like that Seinfeld episode?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Jimmy, okay. Sweet on you.
Okay. I got it. For your joke. I'm going back to that.
Yeah, yeah. So, we got
No. Oh, Benjamin Netanyahu's like, Gaza, have it your way.
Ooh.
Hey, there we go. Let's actually have it my way.
Is that McDonald's or that Burger King?
What?
Have it your way is Burger
That's
King?
That's Burger King.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The king of the burgers. Okay, cool.
I like that. Well, yeah. Do you have any... I don't know. It's an interesting... It's a fun idea. Yeah, you know, anything you would want to add on to it or...
No, I mean, obviously he's like, again, we can cut this out, but he's the Hitler of our day. So I'm not really sure like, oh, okay, that's one thing you can, okay, I guess you both like breathe air and you like Burger King, right? You know, so.
Who's Benjamin Netanyahu?
He's the president of Israel.
Yeah, no way, Jimmy.
Know, dude, wait, you didn't know?
I don't watch the news. I don't know. That's so funny. I was like, is this guy a comic?
Another
Jewish comic.
He has a tight five.
You're looking at me and you're like, man, Quinn's a lot more anti-Semitic than I thought. Just really can't agree with one thing with this.
I learned something today.
So Jimmy,
you do a freeze frame and it's like, Jimmy learned who Benjamin Netanyahu is. Yay.
Yeah.
So you know as much about like world history and news right now than he does as much as he knows about like current celebrities.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know anything about celebrities.
Yeah.
Ever.
Okay.
No. Like I had to rack my brain for like 30 seconds to recall the name Jake Gyllenhaal.
How many porn stars can you name?
None.
He says he doesn't watch porn at all. Same with Oz. They both
can you name a lot?
Well, Oz definitely does.
No. Can you name a lot? You have a whole arsenal?
I can name a couple, you know?
Throw a name out there.
Johnny Sins.
The first one you name is Johnny Sins.
Mike Birbiglia. Benjamin Netanyahu.
Sleep come with me. You ever seen that?
No.
It is pretty fun.
Okay. I have a premise.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so tell me what you think. Every time this bombs. So, all right, you know, like, you guys know World War II history?
Yep.
Yeah.
World War II.
That was so bad. Yes, I know all of it.
The Japanese had these pilots.
Old enough.
They had these pilots that would intentionally crash into
kamikaze.
U.S. ships. Yeah. Right. They called them kamikaze pilots. I was like, and they're like, they're crazy. They'll crash on purpose. Or is that just what happens when, you know, Asians are
behind
driving a plane? All right. Oz likes it.
Oz is a big fan of that.
Should I keep that?
That's hilarious. You said that bombs every time. Like,
I did that Wise Guys once, and it was crickets.
Okay. What if you say
you guys are supposed to like that?
What if you say in a different way? Sorry to interrupt. What if you say in a different way? They're like, I don't think kamikaze pilots did a lot for the reputation of the Asian people are bad drivers. Like, you kind of defending it, like, so that way you're not capitalizing on the stereotype, but you're kind of calling it out with something like, or it's like, you got to make it shorter, obviously, word economy, but that's the idea, is like,
dude,
I don't think they
longer.
Did. I don't think they did the Asian stereotype of bad drivers service by crashing into things. Like, if something like that, that keeps it short, word economy, like, you know what I'm going for, Quinn?
Absolutely. It's all 100%. About, it's all about the word economy. It's another thing, you know, it's all about the numbers.
Yeah, but you get the. Is there a better way that I'm saying it that will?
I think also you need to work in more stereotypes, so and make it more relatable. So like
and throw in an accent.
Well, you could talk about the Delta plane landing upside down after that, and then be like, and that pilot was a woman, and then you just tag that right on the end. Mm-hmm. That's gonna kill.
Yeah. Every time.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'll do that tonight.
Yeah. You know,
just like how you're gonna do.
Yeah,
the blue balls thing.
Blue balls. Yeah. You gotta do that.
Here's the thing. I don't think
Ghislaine like, Maxwell. She wants to be released.
Yeah, Smurfette wants to suck my cock because she's been trafficked and she's on the island. But that's pretty much the gist.
I'm gonna do it my way a little bit. I'm gonna be like, I got blue balls when I was watching the new Smurfs movie.
He's gonna
the other
do it like
day.
Burger King. He's gonna do it his way. Yeah.
Gwen's gonna do the Benjamin Netanyahu joke tonight.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's really cool. It's not going to hit because I don't know if it's a younger crowd. And apparently, all these young kids don't know who Benjamin Netanyahu is.
No, man.
Yeah. Maybe not. I don't know. They're trying to make everyone
dumber.
Yeah. Oh, is he on TikTok? But that's cool. But Oz, do you have a new joke you're working on?
Yeah.
We can take a look at.
Okay, so let's see. This has happened yesterday. This is kind of a thing, right? I'll just tell the story. So yesterday at my work, they said they have this little Slack channel that says free food, and it was donuts. And I thought I'd have an advantage because the people who eat the donuts, and it was really far away, I thought the advantage is the people who eat the donuts are not the people who would be willing to make that trek for the donuts. So I raced over there trying to find them on this other building, and I was like searching high and low. I finally found it. Right when I got there, another guy was walking out of there with the whole entire box, not just one, the whole entire box of donuts. And he just kind of gave me this look like, better luck next time. I was like, you mother effer. And I was like, then I thought the consolation was like, well, next time he won't be as fast.
I think you could be like, well, who likes donuts?
Okay.
The police.
I don't have,
right?
I don't have anything to add to the joke, but yeah, just that life situation. If mm-hmm. that happens again, I think you grab the box from his arms and say, what's up, pussy?
That's good.
And just walk away.
I think you should work the word pussy into your act more.
Yeah,
I think it would do a lot more for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pussy.
I think I'm too much of a pussy to do that. Anyways.
Oh, I think you just open with what's up, pussies, instead of hello.
That's actually,
I don't even start with hello.
No, that would hurt her.
That actually would be great.
No, but before you go into any bit, just say what's up, pussies.
We just give us a little preview. You walk on stage at Wise Guys and you just go, what's up, pussies? Like, how would that sound like?
I don't know. What's up, pussies? I don't know, guys. I'm so sorry. You probably were like, you hate that.
No.
But also, how to lose the crowd in 10 seconds. Instead of how to lose the guy in 10 days, how to lose the crowd in 10 seconds.
I think you would win the crowd more than you think you would with that.
100%. I'd be like, that guy is not afraid to take risks.
I'm not Tyler Beaulthorpe. I'm not going to get up there and be like, I have poopy in my butthole. You know, I'm not Tyler Beaulthorpe. Like, I can't.
I like that Tyler impression.
It's a good impression.
He thinks I'm mean for some reason. I'm like, dude, I think you're very creative. I think he just
doesn't like the fat jokes.
I don't make any fat jokes on his
show. Sure?
I really don't.
When you did an impression of him,
you were waddling. Also, I was like with you and Tyler outside your mic once.
Yeah.
And you made like 5 backhanded fat jokes by accident that were all like compliments.
Hey, I like that. Okay. Someone's got to check him. Okay. He's feeling his britches right now. You got to cut him down.
No. He's just like, so I was golfing with Nick Lucero the other day and he was texting back and forth with Tyler
You went golfing with Nick?
Yeah. Yeah. It was just a few days ago. And then he just goes, and Tyler was like, dude, how can you stand being around? Isn't he so mean to you? I'm like, am I a mean guy? I don't think I'm mean, right? But I just, it's just like fat jokes are like my superpower that I did not ask for. It's like, I didn't ask for this gift. Oh, and so
I was pregnant earlier.
It's just grinning ear to ear.
He can't help it, man. It's just because it's so funny to him because he can't imagine a world where he's fat. He can't get fat.
No, I am fat.
Oz, no, you're not. Fat. Oz, you are not fat.
Dude,
fat.
Look at this belly.
Oz.
My wife says I'm much more attractive because I'm fatter now.
This is the fattest you've ever been, right?
Yes. I'm almost 200 pounds. I'm overweight. It happened. I have like people get on my gravitational pull and they're like, get away. And so
if you're like that, then what's Drew like?
No. See, yeah. Drew's more like football stocky. You know, that's he's farm strong and
Drew's like trailer
pulling
trash.
A hand cart, you know?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He's like out shoveling manure. That's what Drew is.
He's got the body of a guy ready to work at Walmart.
last podcast, I was like telling him, like, dude, with your material, you'd hit the ground running in New York, you know? Like, well, it'd be more like a brisk walk. But anyways,
he's attacking it, he gets after it.
He's bringing that one back up. Wait, so I'm intrigued though. You went golfing with Nick Lucero. That's gotta be a fun. Was it just you and Nick?
Yeah, yeah. It was me and Nick and this old couple. Like, this,
okay,
like,
wasn't
old...
Jay Thaniano with you guys? Because
that would
be the dream.
Real quick, no,
you gotta hit Jimmy with that your Nick Lucero impression.
Oh yeah, I gotta hear.
Oh,
this.
he hates it.
It was actually really good.
Oswaldo, wow, that was an amazing hit. Holy cow, man! Like, that was the best one I ever seen you hit.
That's pretty accurate.
Not so bad.
We saw a homeless guy like dead asleep on the ground, and this is gonna be a little crash, just be ready. But we saw the homeless guy on the street on the ground last night after Boomerangs, and you know, Nick just says to me, only so I can hear, he's like, oh, let's go over there, blow that guy and wake him up. And I was like, and I went, bah! Like, I laughed so hard. What? He says when we go, because when we're in the comedy club, my laugh is really loud. He says it's too loud for him. But golf in the course, that's like the perfect area for that laugh to escape.
Perfect.
But
there you go.
Yeah. Why did I bring up, like, what was I talking about? The golf thing.
You were talking.
Oh, yeah. That Tyler says, I mean, I was like, no, I didn't really make any fat jokes. At one point, Nick was saying, like, because I was telling him about how he could hit the ball like a baseball, like a golf ball. And he's like, yeah, man, Babe Ruth. I'm like, yeah, you just got to eat two of them to be able to do it.
There you go. You're on fire right now. You're burning up the whole building. Right.
How about this? Next week, instead of an open mic at the social roast battle, you and Tyler.
No, we're good. Tyler would.
I would pay money for this.
No, I would love to watch it, but
because you know, like, all right, you gotta use your more imagination.
I'm telling you right now, I'd put my money on you.
Oh, what? That's very kind. If I just tried to compliment Tyler the whole
exactly.
time.
Exactly. No, yeah. You just threw out compliments.
Did I tell you guys what Dario said about the clap? Did I tell you guys this already? Mm-hmm. So I was at a mic one time. Dario was, he's quick on the cuff and he completely forgets what he said because of weed. But he after I was clapping or something, he's like, Oz, I feel like all your claps should just be backhanded claps. And I was like, I laughed. I was like, dude, that's solid.
You did a really good Dario, too.
Oh, yeah, man. What's going on, man? You know, yeah. Dude, love Dario.
Where's Lorne Michaels? Oh, like, you know, like, we got to get, honestly, can we record an SNL audition for you?
Yeah, that would work. That'd be fun. Trevor wants to get on. You know, Trevor Tharp? We'd be solid on SNL. He really wants to do it. Well, get on SNL. Right,
I'll let them know.
Yeah, that'd be
need
solid.
Someone to play Trump.
Yeah, well, yeah. Trick. Yeah. Well, I mean, they got a few.
Well, Bowen Yang plays them. But,
oh, really?
No, I was kidding. It's very exciting. But Oz, so yeah, you're back. Was it a week or so back from New York?
Yeah, it's been about two weeks since I got back.
How's it feel now?
I'm just afraid to lose the gains, you know, because I did 28 mics while I was out there, and I was like, I was had a kind of a rhythm that I was getting to, and I recorded every set, and I'm starting to put clips out for the first time in my comedy career. I actually was able to make like professional comics laugh with this joke when I said, I've been doing this. If I suck, I say 3 years, but if I do really good, then that's 6 years of hard work. And every professional comic I said, like Ryan Hamilton, Janine Garofalo, they laughed. They were like, oh, you're so funny. Exactly with that voice and cadence too. Ryan, I was like, wow, Ryan, I didn't know your voice could go that high. But it was amazing that it was so cool. But yeah, I just don't want to lose the gains. But also, like, it sucks because when you mics are so few and far between here in Utah, it's so easy to put so much more stake in them. Right, because you have to travel all this way. You have to wait like 30 or 40 minutes to get on stage.
Remember the advice they told you, man.
Yeah, that's true.
What did
that's
they true. Say? What did that black girl say?
Mm-hmm. No.
remember that. You gotta remember that.
If we could just record it.
Because look how seriously you're taking it now. Now you're giggling.
If we could one day just do an episode where just Oz does black scent the whole episode,
I would.
It would be. That'd be the way to kick off the Patreon. You know, the way to siphon some money off of the local comics. Oh, hey, you want to see it? You got to pay.
Here's the thing. I think it's actually white people who get offended on behalf of everyone else, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's not a lot of black people who are getting offended on if you do something like that, right? Indian people, I make fun of not their accent because I try to be respectful.
No, about how
but
they
their
smell.
Names, no.
You make fun of their names?
No, you know, like there's like I worked with a guy and his name was Suck Deep, and I'm like, it's hard to say that without giggling like a 12-year-old schoolboy. And but other Indian people think it's hilarious, but then white people are like, ooh, that was racist. I'm like, dude, you don't need to get secondhand offended, right?
Totally. No, dude, you're you let them know, you're like, hey, I make fun of them to their face.
They right? love it.
Yeah, they, yeah. Love, they it. Love it.
They love it. Yeah.
Suck deep.
Yeah.
Do you ever make fun of Karan's name or anything? Or
no, there's not really much to it. I like to do Karan's accent, you know, but it's like sometimes it's I don't know if he always likes it. But here's the thing. So he has brown skin. And again, this is one thing I do not understand. All right. Because my wife. No, sorry.
How do you live with that? Every day?
What I mean.
How do you put on clothes?
What I mean is. My wife has brown skin and she looks great when she wears white. And so I just saw Karan the other day. Like, he's wearing a white shirt. I was like, hey, white on brown, that looks great. And people were like, dude, that's so racist. I mean, how is that racist? I'm not talking down to him or like, you know, like, hey, take a shower. No, I'm not. I'm just saying, like. I just say, dude, that looks good.
All right, hang on. So if you saw a Native American person wearing a white shirt,
it would look great.
What would you say, though?
Well, I guess I can't say anything now, you know.
No, but like, just what's in your heart? You know what I mean?
How? No, I would be like, no, dude. Hey, that looks really good. Like, hey, that shirt looks good on you, or something like that, right? Try to be,
yeah, you fucking idiot.
Try to be complimentary, yeah, Jimmy, something like that.
I'm just trying to figure things out. Jimmy, I don't know who Benjamin Netanyahu is.
Exactly.
Right?
It's fine. Yeah, you've lost all. I don't know what I'm doing here. No power here. You kept no right to speak unless spoken to.
My bad.
So I asked Oz before the mics, before the show started, if we could maybe have a moment where he interviews Jimmy. We take a back seat. Ooh. We let Oz drive the interview.
All right.
Because remember, this is a test run to see if we want to have you on as a full time.
I'd love to be a full time guest. I hope that you guys are enjoying this. Also, I don't know if we need to cut some of the other things out. We'll talk later. Anyways, dude. So Jimmy. So yeah, I'm so glad you joined us today. Thank you so much. So I heard you got a girlfriend now. Is that true?
No. I don't know where you heard that.
You're set. You know, you talk about it on stage.
No, I lie. I make everything up all the time.
Okay. All right then. All right. So how's so you're still in the swinging lifestyle then, huh? You know, it's because you're swinging and missing. Anyways. How do you balance, like, you know, the primitive need of feeding the glass cock to actually doing comedy, right? How do you balance like where you want to go on dates, right? And then, but you also want to get the laughs. You want to get out there. You want to get on stage. Right. You want to be a star. You want to show people your permed hair and be like, I can be a star and I can have permed hair without being Jewish. You know?
You're just asking how I balance dating and comedy.
That's basically what I'm saying.
And
yeah,
not being Jewish
and not being Jewish.
That's gotta be rough.
It's rough, you know. Comedy's first a lot things easier. First, you don't know Benjamin Jewish. Netanyahu. I don't know Benjamin Netanyahu. Benjamin@yahoo.com. It's just for Oz. It's tough, you know. Just so many women lining up after shows, just being like, oh my gosh, like, aren't you that one guy from that one thing? And I'm like, yeah. And you know, I don't know how I do it. Next question.
No, okay. I was just curious about that because, all right, so let's talk me about through your, all right, so here's the thing. You know, when I was single, I had this drive inside me that I was like, I got to go talk to a woman. I got to be there. It's amazing that you're like, you can just do comedy and have that self-control to be like, I don't need a woman to be happy. I just think that's great. I think it's great. So
yeah, it's deliberate. Yep. That's awesome. Yep.
So I guess it's
discipline is the answer. It's just a lot of discipline, you know.
Okay. All right. I like it. So you write. Okay. Here's the thing. If you want a basketball team, I think you score your averages. You score more as far as jokes, not women, but you score quite a bit. And so take us through your process. How do you know when a joke's gonna hit? Do you have a secret where you have a club with your little not boyfriends, but your guy buddies, where you guys like, hey Jack, what do you think of this? Hey Jason LeDuc, what do you think of this and stuff? And then they kind of bounce back. Or what does your writing process look like of like before he hits the stage, from the page to the stage? What does that look like?
I genuinely have no idea. Like, I've been writing for like 2 years and I still am like, am I getting better at this? Is this funny? Like, I tried a bunch of new stuff on Wednesday and all of it bombed. Mm. And I'm like, I don't think I'm funny anymore. Like,
I like Oz's question was like, Jimmy, how do you manage being good at stand up despite being a little light in the loafers?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Light in the loafers? Never heard that. Light in the shoes?
Yeah.
Is it because he's short?
Yeah, that's what that.
Well, here's the thing, guys. Just so you know, Jimmy, I'm gonna vouch for my buddy Jimmy. My buddy JG here. Okay, he has solid comedy instincts. Okay, one joke that super hit the whole time that I was in New York when I started using it more was my wife has the one time she said the word clap, she had says, oh, there's somebody has the clap and stuff, and Jimmy gave me a whole scenario where it's like I showed my wife a video of me doing a stand-up and I had an applause break, she's like, so glad you got the clap, and I've every time I use that it freaking crushes, and that was you. Yeah, it was from the clap himself.
I thought you were gonna be like,
remember that.
I thought you were gonna be like, I was using some of Jimmy's bits.
I was using your jokes in New York.
I was in New York and I was like, one day I Googled, what is the worst name ever?
Okay, so get this. I was at this mic and it was like a riff mic and they were talking about suicide. Or no, you're supposed to like, where they give you a subject and you just have to go and riff for a whole minute. And I was like, Jimmy has this great joke. I don't want to give your material away though.
Go for it.
He has this bit about how do Make-A-Wish kids ask, could Make-A-Wish kids ask for prostitutes, right? That's the premise. So we were talking about cancer. No, not suicide. It was cancer. And when I was on stage, I was like, oh my gosh, that's a great joke. I can't use that right now because that would be theft. Just so you guys know, in stand-up, just for the non-comedians out there, sorry, I'm mansplaining to you, but stealing someone else's joke is like the sin. You could like kill somebody and piss on their ashes, and they're like, oh, that's not as bad as stealing someone's joke. So stealing someone's jokes is like the worst thing. So I was up there, and I was like, I can't use Jimmy's joke. I was like, if Jimmy was here, though, he'd crush.
Thanks,
but yeah, but anyways, that was but I was tempted with that. But yeah, that's so okay. But you do have good instincts, you know, just remember like, and then, but it's good to know that even Michael Jordan misses. I mean, in the single world, I think you'd be like more like John Stockton, but in the actual,
Stockton?
Because, you know, he's short and stuff, and
you know, he's the assist leader. Really good at helping other people get laid.
He's the wingman. Yeah, well, I didn't call him the Carl Malone, you know, because then be like,
oh my gosh.
Then he's like, well, so I should go with the Ghislaine
Maxwell.
You're
like the Magic Johnson. You have AIDS.
I think the Carl Malone one's worse, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yeah, that's worse than AIDS, I guess. Touching kids.
Yeah, Carl Malone would be.
And you can quote me on that.
We should debate that.
AIDS is worse than.
But no, what is your, here's the thing. Okay, I'm going to ask you this. What is your biggest challenge in comedy right now? What do you think that you keep coming up against every time?
Being funny at Quinn's mic. It's so hard.
Is it really?
It's so hard every time.
When I go to Quinn's mic, here's the thing. As long as I don't attach any personal value to it at all, and I just, even if I, especially if sometimes if I don't record, I'm like, I'm just going to mess around and be silly and let go. That's when I think I have the most fun.
What did that black girl say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you follow that advice at Alliance.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, honestly, I got to do that.
We're talking about Alliance. No.
Yeah.
Alliance. Well, we're talking about Boomerang.
No.
Yeah. It's impossible.
I give Oz the craziest intros at Alliance Theater.
It's really nice. It's really fun.
Very fun. And then Jimmy, I think we've kind of tried everything.
Yeah. But like, I don't really get surprised anymore. For a few months, I was like, I have no idea what's about to happen today. And now I'm like, okay, you know.
But I like watching you go up there and, you know, you're trying different things out. I like it. Oh, yeah. I think it's admirable.
Got to try stuff.
It's it's crazy. I think there was I was just listening to a podcast where they said the advice to start when you're starting out, try as many different things as possible on stage because you still don't know what your voice is going to be. So be okay to try a lot. And right then when I said that, that's when I actually heard Tyler Beaudthorpe. That's when I thought of Tyler Beaudthorpe because he tries so many different things. That poopy butthole thing is just one thing, but he has so many other bits that he'll start out. And I'm like, wow, where are you going with this? And it's really, he's very, very creative the way that he does that. You know, it's that cranium that he has. So it's really, really good. But that's really awesome. Okay. So
final question. For
yes.
Jimmy. Okay, what's your final question you have today?
Final question for Jimmy. Okay. Well, I don't know how personal you want me to get.
Nuts. Go
There's
nuts.
No
let's get in there.
Get personal.
Okay. Because of, I don't want to.
It's called Let's Get
It
Fired.
Let it rip, Oz.
Come on.
We're 40
okay.
minutes in.
Do you find it hard to trust women after what happened with your mom?
Oh, that's like way personal.
yeah, that's what I said. You said, did you see guys?
All right, for those that don't know, my mom had an affair, and now that's on the internet. So, yeah. So,
you said get personal. So.
Oh, my God. Oz is fucking crushing.
Oh my God, that was great.
Well, thanks for being good sport and still being my friend.
Thank you for being my friend.
I'm just gonna say no. We're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Right, you don't
we'll
see
we'll
like
come back to that.
You don't look we'll at women and just see evil.
Okay, we can go cool. deeper. I don't care.
Okay.
No. We'll ask after you've had a long term girlfriend, and be like, how about now?
Yeah. And I'm like, it's tough. You know, I don't know.
Interesting. Very exciting. Yeah. Man, I was never expecting that question.
Me neither.
That's amazing. Really
good cool. question. Good question.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
No worries.
Also, for you, I'm curious, I was thinking about this earlier today, is Scott Pilgrim versus the World, that seems like that would be like your favorite movie.
You know, because all the gay people like it.
Yeah, no, it's got that. The perfect match. It's got the EDM, it's got the gay roommate, but it's also got the love story. So there's men and women, you know, the whole thing. It's just like, all of that stuff that I'm like, I bet Quinn just eats up on this thing, you know?
Guess
like,
what, Oz? I love that movie.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah, great
I
movie.
Do
yeah.
love that movie. It's amazing. Your BF's about to get effed.
I don't want you film. Gang up the place.
Yeah.
Great movie.
I can't believe you thought I'd gang up.
You know, an underrated movie that came around on that time that I really like a lot? Nicanor's Infinite Playlist.
I haven't seen it.
It's really good. It's got Michael Cera, too, and it's all set in New York City. And so that was cool when I was there.
So
you're
like, that's where this was shot?
Yes. Yeah. And it's really cool. This guy, he breaks up with this girl, or the girl breaks up with him, and so he starts dating this Kat Dennings, or starts going out with this Kat Dennings character, like going nice. Around New York City to find her drunk friend, and they start to get a little more romance. And all of his band, he's in a band, all his band members are gay, and they're trying to come up with their own names, you know, like their own name stuff. And so they're not, you know, like, what should we be called? How about Balls Deep and stuff? But it's a real funny movie. It's really cute. It's got good music, really good soundtrack.
Speaking of dating,
like,
before we move on
yes,
from the interview,
please.
Do you, before like final thing, do you have any, just knowing me personally, do you have any dating advice for me that ooh. I should try to apply based on what you know about me?
Good question. Good
that's
question,
solid,
Jamie.
Man. That is solid. Be taller. No, the
God damn it, you piece of shit.
He's right. He's not wrong.
It would help. It would
no,
help.
No.
If you were 6'4", you'd have a black girlfriend.
I would say like, of course, like, I think what I like about you, that when I see you, you actually go and talk to women. Most guys just sit around and talk to other comics, you know, like, oh yeah, let's talk about my mom and her breastfeeding habits and like, but you actually go up and like, you see the girl by herself, you know, like the lonely gazelle in the Africa thing, and you're like, you kind of stalk, you know, and you kind of get the angle.
I don't know where he's getting at. I don't do that.
Describing it pretty well.
No.
I think I've seen this happen.
And then you go up and you talk, you know, like I saw that at Wise Guys. I'm like, dude, there's a girl by herself. No guy's talking to her. And then I saw you go and I'm like, oh, good. Because here's the thing, as a married guy, you know, as a married guy, you're like, dude, like, there's this free food. I can't eat it because I've sworn off. But you, but no one's nibbling. You know, no one's.
But Jimmy nibbled.
Yeah, Jimmy went and took the bait, and Jimmy I was like, nibbled. "That's good, that's Jimmy good." But then, nibbled. And as soon as he went over there, the boyfriend came and scared Jimmy away, and he's, you know, it was like the alpha male thing, you know, and they kind of like, you know, did this and stuff, and
oh my
and
God.
But it was
all
great.
This happened at
but what should yeah. I what should I do differently? Like how should I like what should I work on? Do you think?
Oh, dude, that's what I don't know. You're really good at establishing boundaries. Right? That's one of the number one things. A lot of nice guys or a lot of guys who have a hard time with women don't establish boundaries. Mm-hmm. So you learned, I got to go. You take your time, precious. I think that's great. Just, I would say, make sure that she feels that you're trying to get to know her and not like, hey, let me show you how funny I am. And also, it's probably made of glass. You know, just certain ways to like, you know, like, let's get to know you better. And this, I think that would be great. But also, just you having fun with it, right? Sense of humor is huge. It can go overcome everything. Look at me. I'm married, and that's surprising to almost anyone. Any girl that I talk to, they're like, dude, how is this guy married and I'm not? And I'm like, well, sense of humor. That's kind of the key, right?
There you go.
But also get to know them. Make sure they feel like you get to.
So
yeah.
Would you say then there's an argument to be made that you are funnier than Jimmy because you're married and Jimmy doesn't even have a girlfriend?
That is a good point.
Well, he's also super young, and he started comedy younger, quicker than I did. Mm-hmm. My top priority was...
So you didn't even need to start comedy. You were just already so funny that a girl you got married. But Jimmy has started comedy, but he doesn't even have a girlfriend.
No, so Jimmy, it's where Jimmy's priorities are, right? Jimmy's priorities are, I want to go and I want to be in New York City. I want to be able to be past it all at the Comedy Cellar. I have a goal that I'm going to hit out there, and that's solid, right? But it's hard to balance that and a relationship at the same time. I was married. I was 33 years old when I got married. 33 years when I started comedy, but I was 23 when I got married. So I was married for about 10 years, 11 years before I started. And it's my priorities were different. That's what it is. It's hard to strike that balance. Yeah. It's easier to be single and do so many mics and mics and mics, but you get more material and life experiences when you're married and you have that. But yeah, so I think you're in a good spot right now. Just it's hard to get that, strike that balance. I don't know. What do you guys say? You're married. You started comedy when you started dating Amanda, right?
Yeah. I started comedy 3 months before I met my wife.
Do you find it hard to trust women?
Good question. Good
question. Oswaldo. What the question? I did that last night and he's like, no one can get my voice, you know? No one can get my voice. And I'm like, dude, I thought that was pretty solid.
No, that's great.
It's a really good Lucero.
It's the closest one I've heard. So yeah, good question, Drew.
That is a good question. No, you don't trust women. It's not good for you.
No.
Okay. They're gonna betray you every time. Not in like they're gonna, you know, not that they're gonna like have an affair, but like you're gonna come home and you're gonna be like, why is there like $70 spent on the credit card today? And you're like, what the fuck? Right. And then you have to And then she's like, our baby that we're having needs clothes. And I'm like, that's bullshit.
Quinn, you're married. Is this your experience also? Or
No. I mean, I don't know. You can just do whatever. There's no consequences.
Quinn's marriage is so fascinating to me.
Wait, why?
Because, I mean, okay. So, you know, Quinn, I made this joke before, you know, like there's a, like, you know, vampire, like there's like vampires can't walk, you know, they can only go at night, right? And then, you know, they can't go on the day. But if you got a half vampire, they're like, they call them day walkers, you know? And Quinn, he's a gay walker, right? You know, he's got the hetero up top and the, you know, down bottom down there. And
are you saying his shorts aren't long enough?
Oh, obviously. But but honestly, like he, you know, it's just such a unique character in the comedy scene that he's just like, he knows everything about football there is to know about football. He knows every single Academy Award thing. And he also, you know, like he goes with women and men, but also your wife's bisexual too. And she's also like fun and cool. You guys are just such a unique couple that I'm like, how in the heck did you guys like fit together like a puzzle piece? I'm trying to rack in my brain, but I just,
how,
I'm just,
how does I think it work?
I would describe it like that. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like looking at myself. I'm like, are we like inside the Ark of the Covenant or something? Like, you just opened it up and your face melted off. You're like two bisexuals and they're married.
Well, I mean, they're married to each other. I just think it's amazing. And like, you know, you just have such a good relationship. You know, Ellie's amazing. She talks during like anything with, you know, like movies or whatever, and it's like, that's cool. And then
how do you know this?
Because anytime I sit out of the comedy scene and she's there, I could just hear her like mumbling to herself the entire time, and I'm like, oh, okay, she's one of those, you know, those people. It's cool.
What do you mean by
she's
those awesome people who talk during movies?
Yeah. Just so you know, Ellie is white. Okay, but I'm just fascinated with it. I was like, hey, how's Ellie doing? Oh, she's playing another video game. She'd get lost in this. And I'm like, wow, you have a wife who likes video games? That's so cool. It's like, I don't know. It's and then you like sports. It's, I don't know. It's like this whole cool dichotomy of like, it's just unique. That's all. It's very unique in the Utah scene. And it's like, here's the thing. I was in New York City and you see like trans people, you know, gay people, like really, really feminine stuff, and it's and or feminine gay guys, and not really a lot of masculine women. But I was just like, still, even after that, I'm like, dude, that's a really unique relationship you have. It's really, it's kind of cool.
Well, hell yeah. Well, thank you. And you know what, guys? I think
that's we're at time.
I think we're at the end. That was an amazing ending, Oz. Thanks for the interview.
That was great.
The interview went phenomenal. Better than I thought. It was everything I imagined and more. So that was great. We're going to have some more of that. We might have to think of some more people to bring on to have Oz interview. Totally changes the whole show. It's great. So thank you guys for being here. Thank you. Actually, Oz, why don't you close us out?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Let's Get Fired. We've been your host, Oz Morris, Drew Simon, Quinn the Man Johnson, and your special guest that we all love, the Cockman himself, Jimmy Glasscock. So thanks for joining us, Jimmy. You've been a great sport.
Thanks, awesome. Man.
Thank you.
Goodbye.